Guys, it's our fourth annual Super Bowl episode. This is the Bon Appetit Foodcast, and I'm Adam Rapport. All right, today we got back in the saddle, Carla Lawley Music and Gabe T, talking about our ideal Super Bowl party menus. So we got a drink, an appetizer, and a main. And then young Emma Wartzman over here, our podcast producer, decides who the winner is. All right, you guys ready? Let's do this thing. Gabe T, welcome back. Carla Music, Happy New Year.
Great to be here.
Happy to be here.
It's, you know what it is?
What?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It really is.
It's the Super Bowl.
I'm excited.
It's coming.
Yep.
And we're going to talk about that. But before we get to that, Carla.
Yeah.
I just want to catch up on what you've got going. Actually, and you too, Gabe, but Carla's got more happening than you.
For once.
I would say so. Let's do this thing.
Yeah. You got a book coming out next month, Carla.
I have a book coming out on March 19th called Where Cooking Begins. And it's really weird to be in the same year that my book comes out, because books take like 2.5 years to make.
Yeah. And I'm sure we can do a whole separate pod on this, but like, when did this actual process begin?
2 years ago. I think I was working on the proposal 2 years ago.
Oh, that was that those few weeks when you were never at the office?
I was super spaced out. Nobody could really get a handle on me.
Were you like working on it behind Adam's back, or were you guys in cahoots on it?
I didn't work on it at work.
It just seems like Carla's off her game recently.
So much on my mind. She's writing a lot, but nothing comes out.
You know what we call that in the music business? Side hustle.
Right. Yeah.
What's the elevator pitch on the book?
The elevator pitch on the book is that this is a cookbook that should make you excited to go shopping for food.
Ooh, wow.
Because, you know, mostly shopping for food is like, I don't want to. But I sort of reimagine the way you shop for food and then make it really fun. Like shopping should be part of your inspiration for cooking.
Yeah.
Full disclosure.
Yeah.
I've never used Fresh Direct or any other grocery delivery service before.
I talked about this.
I do love going to the supermarket, seeing all the bottles and jars, seeing the produce. And like nowadays, I'll listen to a podcast, I'll have my little headphones on. And unless it's Sunday at Whole Foods at 5 p.m., which is like hell on earth in New York City.
Yeah.
I love the experience.
Well, I'm not saying you should never go shopping for food in person. In fact, I think that we should shop in person for the things that really matter if you're there.
Seafood.
Food, protein, your produce, dairy, good loaf of bread.
Ooh,
talk to the guy at the cheese counter. Like, get excited. But basically anything that comes in a box, a bag, a jar, or a bottle, those heavy things, canned things, it doesn't matter which can of Goya chickpeas you choose.
I have this whole argument with my wife because...
You had an argument with your wife? What?
I will say it's an ongoing dialogue about Fresh Direct, because her idea of a Fresh Direct order is like a case of Pamplemousse LaCroix, some medjool dates, and some wipes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not feeling the whole carbon footprint of this.
Well,
thing.
I did.
Like from an environmental standpoint.
But I actually did some reading about this because I knew people were going to dock me for like, oh, really? So convenient. Put it on a truck and bring it over. In New York, it's a little different because we're pedestrians, but it is more efficient. Like the way that a truck makes multiple stops with a big bunch of things is a more efficient use of gasoline than a bunch of individual cars all zing, zing, zipping into the parking lot.
Okay.
Except, hold on, A, we don't drive in New York. B, my wife, this is very out of character for her, she had a big issue with the Fresh Direct trucks because they would idle outside the building and they have to stay on to keep the refrigerated unit going, which is very noisy. And she's like, can you guys turn it off go somewhere else?
It's actually illegal to idle your truck, so they should turn it off.
But you can't because then it's refrigerated. It's got to stay, the refrigeration unit has to stay on.
Anyway, back to shopping.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wait, so in the book, you cover a lot of this, like how to shop and what to get and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I do go through like a good strategy for food shopping and how to stock your kitchen. But really, the book is about how to cook, like starting with the ingredient that you're excited about. And then and a lot of suggestions for swaps and substitutions, because sometimes you might be excited to make, you know, a raw shaved carrot salad. And then you get there and actually what looks really amazing is like the kohlrabi.
Subs.
Like, sub it out. Like a crunchy veg is a crunchy veg. So a big part of this is sort of learning when to be that confident cook that's like, I'm going to switch it up and I don't care what this Carla person
said.
That's
like some Gilbert and Sullivan song.
Swap it up.
A crunchy veg is a crunchy veg. Okay, so March 19th.
It's like
March 19th.
Oh, yeah. Emma's saying we're going to do a whole podcast about
this. Oh, thank God.
Sorry. March 19th. Look for it. Where Cooking Begins by Carla Music. Gabe, you're good? Good New Year and everything?
Yeah, everything's going good.
You write any books or?
Nope, didn't write a book.
You have tan.
Thank you. Had a nice tan. Had a nice holiday. You know, the Furries were in from Cleveland. We managed to keep everybody happy. it was stress-free. We had a good time. Did some cooking.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was great.
Okay.
It was fantastic.
All right.
That's good, because the last time we saw you after Thanksgiving, you were a little upset about your Thanksgiving dinner. You had a good Christmas.
Christmas Eve, we cooked... So sort of an Italian feast.
Seven fishes, maybe?
No, we didn't do fishes.
Oh, okay.
Just because I'm not actually a confident seafood cook. I don't have enough of those dishes in my repertoire. I don't have a fishmonger in Brooklyn that I'm particularly enamored with. I am concerned about sourcing when it comes to that stuff and being at the peak of freshness.
Toast.
So I just did some kind of red sauce specials. I think it nailed it. I put out some like restaurant quality food on Christmas Eve.
What won the night?
For most of the crew, it was the meatballs that I made. Moss, you know, my buddy Moss and I have been perfecting this meatball recipe that I think is far out.
We're talking about Moss the Meat Whisperer?
Moss the Meat Whisperer, exactly. Anyway, he's got this technique for doing it that's really good involves a lot less binding ingredients so that they come out really soft and really meaty and less sort of those like brick hard meatballs that you remember. You know what I mean?
I made spaghetti meatballs last night. Actually, Simone did and
killed it.
The best garlic bread she's ever made.
Wow.
I was like, because it was Monday night. I'm like, do we really need to make garlic bread on a Monday night and try to do this? And she was making Caesar dress. I was just like,
that's nice.
It was nice. And I was just like, but I came home. I was like, the kitchen had so much going on. I'm like, oh my God. But when you crunch into that garlic bread and it's all like moist and almost like wet, but then it's crispy on the sides and you're like, oh my God.
Baguette?
So good.
I want to know more
about
this.
Like a big, wide, sort of artisanal, like Italian loaf, but cut all the way across.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was just like the bottom plank
that
we did it, and then cut that across into little sticks.
Love it.
Because I'm getting hungry, let's get on to the main attraction. All right, we're talking Super Bowl, and here's how we're doing it this year. I think this is year three, four that we've done this together.
I think this is the fourth one.
Man, that's ill.
Wow. Okay.
That's incredible. Bananas.
All right, here's the structure. We are each going to submit our starting lineup, our sort of ideal Super Bowl menu, cocktail/drink, appetizer/snacks, whatever you want to call it, main course, and making an argument for each of them and why. And then after we all go around the table, Emma will decide who the winner is, and the winner gets a really nice fancy bottle of Pet Nat from Chamber Street Wine.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ooh la la. Is this already in your office? So I just swing up and grab it on the way?
And maybe, yeah.
Back upstairs.
That will mark the first time that I've been remunerated for this content.
Yeah.
4 years in.
I like the use of remunerated. 4 years in. We'll get there. But you know, it's like back in the day, it's like an apprenticeship. You got to pay
the
dues.
Yeah. It'll pay off. Don't worry.
You're learning a lot from us, Gabe. All right. So who wants to go first, Gabe or Carla?
Carla.
Oh, sure. I'll go first. Okay. So I brought a book with me. It's Martha Stewart's Hors d'oeuvre handbook.
This is
really epic. You know it's an epic cookbook because it's got those ribbons.
Yeah, this is like a dog-eared copy of Martha Stewart's
Hors d'oeuvre
cookbook.
Oh, yeah. This is like some OG. But I brought this because this was the book that introduced me. I'm starting at the end of my menu, I think. I'm starting with the main. Is that fine?
Because
that's where I went. I started with that and then I built the other stuff around it.
Yeah.
Counterintuitive. I like it.
The idea of the riblet.
Oh,
yeah. I love
the word riblet.
Just the word riblet.
Are there actually?
Look at those photos.
Oh,
look at that soft focus. Look at that stack of ribs. That is not an easy shot to
Incredible.
Get.
Incredible.
No.
Go ahead.
She calls them molasses glazed cocktail ribs because she's Martha.
Yeah, someone Riblets. Like Martha Stewart is not going to say riblet.
Riblet is more like Applebee's.
Yeah. Totally.
Vibes.
About this, and the first time I saw this picture, I was like, I don't even know how she got there, but I have to make it. You take a rack of baby backs,
baby back,
and go to your butcher and ask them to cut them in half lengthwise. So yeah, instead
with
of
with the
like
buzzsaw.
A hacksaw or something.
Yeah, yeah, they just go through, but it's like no big deal. And sometimes they're even sold in the little mini ribs. Yeah. Like they might sell them as cocktail ribs.
Yeah.
But if they don't have cocktail ribs, just say, I want the rack sliced in half lengthwise. And so you get these little short ribs and you basically cook.
Short ribs, get it?
There you go. And then you basically cook them the same way you.
I'm going to cut that out of the podcast. That's terrible.
You cook them. They don't have to be fried like wings. We've talked about this, but you basically slow roast them with a glaze on them. So the glaze, actually, it's really great. I was like, oh, I'll riff on the glaze. Then I looked at it. It's molasses and harissa and like honey. And I was like, back in the day, Martha busting out the harissa. She was a bold, powerful person.
Martha, I mean, what's a trailblazer?
Simone. A pioneer.
This weekend, we were up in North Adams, Massachusetts. Simone at a thrift store bought the Martha Stewart gardening book, like way back in the day, with amazing shots of Martha with her old school khakis, like tilling the soil, like getting in there.
Totally.
And like growing all these sort of hipster, you know, salad herbs and lettuces that are now everywhere. Like this was, you know, 30 years ago.
It's
like
pretty
sorrel.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sorrel.
So you slow sort of roast them, braise them in the oven?
Yeah, so you cover them with this glaze that has vinegar and molasses and harissa. And I said honey, but it's actually maple syrup. And you slow roast them for
salt?
A long time.
Covered?
Soy? Anything?
Dijon mustard, which I guess has a lot of salt, and so does the harissa. And yeah, there's kosher salt and black pepper.
Okay.
And so you marinate them, then you roast them, and they go for about 45 minutes until they're glazed. I would probably crank the heat at the very end.
Killer.
Just to get that like really nubby,
as
sticky.
As we always say, hit them with the broiler.
Exactly. So this is my version of a wing. It's a rib. But it's like little handheld, and then you don't have to make the choice between the drumette and the flat because they're all just perfect and they fall right off the bone.
And you could have like multiple piles of these stationed around.
Piles, soft focus on all of them, and then just a can for chucking your little rib bones into.
Killer.
Like an old, like chock full of nuts coffee can. Question. Would you consider doing like three different glazes, you know? So you have like a molasses harissa, you have like an Asian style one.
Sure.
I'd definitely hit that with fish sauce.
Oh yeah, Gabe would, yeah.
I would hit it with soy, fish sauce, and some kind of palm sugar.
Yeah.
That definitely would.
Sure. It's just, you know, how hard do you want your life to be?
Well, that's easy, but riblets. All right, that's like going down
the
field.
You wouldn't do it three ways. If it was your party,
you
wouldn't do it two ways.
You're more
you'd do it one way.
No,
you'd do it one way.
All right, this is equivalent of. You just received the ball on the kickoff, and you drove like 90 yards on the first position and scored a touchdown, Carla.
Amazing.
You're up 7-0 with like 3 minutes into the game.
Do
right
I even
now.
Get to do the kick thing?
Yeah. Okay, so what's the extra point?
Let's okay, walk so it then, back to the, so I'm kicking, and I'm kicking it to a blue cheese dip. I was thinking about cheese. I was thinking about dips. I was thinking about chips.
But not for the ribs.
No.
She's doing the appetizer now.
But I'm on my appetizer.
How good would that be? Take the molasses ribs and dip it in the blue cheese.
No. It wouldn't necessarily be bad. But I was like, with the wings, you get the blue cheese dip, but also dip. And I was thinking about queso and guac and all this stuff. But I really want to have a potato chip moment. Potato chips and blue cheese dressing is like just the best combo. And our own Emil Stonek got this method from Ignacio Matos, the great chef of Estella and Ultra Paradiso, and he has a book out as well, Estella. And he just combines gorgonzola dolce, which is like a not too sharp but a little bit of a good blue, and sour cream, and just stirs it together until he gets the right consistency, some cracked black pepper, little drizzle of olive oil. I think I want to do that, but instead of sour cream, I want to use buttermilk.
Wow. Killer.
So that's my potato chip, blue cheese.
So you still get a few kind of lumpy chunks of blue cheese in
there?
Exactly.
So you're sort of mashing it with a fork, stirring it around.
Yeah, what are you using for the chips?
A Cape Cod kettle. Yeah,
we'll get
cool with that.
I have thoughts of my own. I don't want to give away my game plan. Hey, just let me wait till I get the ball, okay, Gabe?
That's my appetuzzi, and then drinking. I want to have a Paloma.
That was my you stole my place.
You let me go first.
You're gonna have to freestyle.
I should not have like deferred at the coin toss.
Yeah,
this is like when the drag queens come out in the same wig. Like, uh oh, what do you do now?
Oh man, I'm
so
reeling. I'm gonna have to go into. I'm gonna have to make like Bill Belichick halftime adjustments.
Toss it to me, and you can think for a minute.
Yeah.
Tequila, lots of rocks, and then grapefruit soda and a lime wedge.
I'm loving right. it.
Yeah,
loving
and everything. And we did have a taste test at one point, and Ting won our grapefruit soda taste test. I grew up on Fresca.
Ting.
Ting.
No. Oh, yeah.
Ting.
Pellegrino makes one. If you can't find Ting, you can't find it everywhere, but you can probably order it on Amazon, which is, you know, the kind of thing I would tell you to do in my book.
Yeah. Now, you're this year, though, Carla, there was word that you might not be spending
the
Super Bowl at your parents'.
Normally, we go to my parents' house on
that. Does Carol know this?
I have not told my mom yet, so she'll probably need to do that before this comes out. But
does
we got
listen
like.
To the pod?
She does, yeah. Mm. She also, she comments freely when she's consuming the Bon Appetit content. We got invited to a friend's, and I don't know, it just seemed like a fun thing to do. I feel bad.
Do it.
But it was like a potluck, and people were counting on me to bring the thing and bring in the riblets, you know?
Bring in the riblets. It's a good t-shirt. Wow. Okay. I feel all right.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go to Carol's this
year. Should. It's a good lineup.
Uptown, yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that. All right.
Really, the only person that matters here is Emma. I should have been pitching this whole thing to Emma this whole time.
I know.
Emma.
Stop looking at me. All right, so to summarize,
the judge.
You got the riblets two ways, perhaps.
Sure.
You got.
No, I'm just doing
the
one
way.
Just
the one way. Okay. Well, if Gabe
the one
came.
Way, but the one way is like it's got all the things. It's sweet. It's sour. It's glazy. It's a little spicy. Mm. A little sticky. A little chewy. It's got it all.
Yep.
Yeah. Really hard to argue.
And you
got to
roast those things so they're just like
falling apart.
Really tender.
Yep.
Just come right off the bone.
Big
and
time.
Is it like a continued? It's slow and low. It's 250. It's
she
several
has them
hours.
At 375. Ooh. I might do one of these things where I like, you know, you might look around at a couple methods, but I was thinking probably maybe wrap in foil, marinate, wrap in foil, do the first couple hours like that. I might look at Bon Appetit. It's like best ever ribs.
Yeah.
But those are much bigger. So just got to play with timing a little bit. Definitely using the broiler at the end.
This comes back to your having written a cookbook, and I think I love when experienced cooks riff on a recipe. It's like, you know what? Get the idea, get the inspiration, and if you want to, you know, change a little bit, you know what you're doing, go for it.
Yeah, and sometimes you need to look at a few and be like, okay, we're in the 375 to 400, the timing, roughly, and then you've got to go with your eyes and your ears anyway, and the nose.
Okay. Gabe, you've got the ball.
Okay, this year... I think when we are watching the Patriots in the Super Bowl again, we will be having. I think I'm going to start with my 90-yard drive to the zone.
Can I just say
to
one?
The house?
Adam already has his hand up.
No, I'm just saying for the listening audience, we are recording this on January. What is today? The 16th, the 15th, or something?
Mm-hmm.
It's a few days before the AFC Championship game. So at this point, we don't know whether the Patriots will be in the Super Bowl
Some of us know.
So just roll with us, listeners.
It's an ongoing argument that you and I have, Adam, about belief.
Yeah.
Gabe always knows.
You're not a person really with a lot of faith.
I just believe that Tom Brady's an old man, but anyway.
Okay, so my 90-yard rush to the house is a Detroit-style pizzas.
Oh, ooh, wow.
Pizza being the ultimate party food and maybe the ultimate food. And the way that everyone that the way that we're all loving Detroit style pizzas over the past couple
really
of years, it's like
moment.
It's having a moment.
Can you for the
but I like it for this setting because it although it we've got a great recipe now from the good people at Emily who just put out a book so they've kind of shown us the way the method, and it's a little bit tech and a little bit of love and a little bit of vibes and a little bit of time because you have to ferment your dough, you know, it's an overnight ferment in the fridge situation, then it's a relax it, get it into like a malleable place and then spread it into pans and then back into the fridge for another cool down and then back out. So it's multiple.
So it's two proofings.
It's two proofings.
And you're shaping it and then resting it.
But you can do all of that ahead of time so that you're not somebody like me who's going to get stuck with this labor intensive vibe in the kitchen while the game is on or leading up to the game when you want to be getting drunk and watching the game and having fun. So,
but you can't make one pizza.
No, and you can make them all ahead of time and fire them all. You know, you can just fire them up and bring out the pies like right when you want to. You can time it out. It is a little bit labor intensive, but not a la minute, not at the moment.
Right.
You can get it done. You can make a plan. And we want, just like Thanksgiving on Super Bowl day, we want a plan.
Okay.
Right. We need a plan. Because you're gonna be calling audibles, people are gonna be showing up. Rick's gonna bring some people that he didn't announce.
Adam's gonna
be getting rowdy and ruining everyone's good time.
I'm throwing my red flag.
Yeah,
an official's review.
Yeah.
All right. I've watched a lot of football with Gabe, big games. I think most of the Patriots Super Bowls over the last several years. I've never been at a Super Bowl or AFC Championship game where he isn't in the kitchen the entire time
100%.
Cooking and drinking. And he ends up seeing probably about 3 minutes and 42 seconds of actual game time. So I'm skeptical.
It, like, I put a lot of thought into easy. This. I'm like I'm flashing skeptical. Him. I'm thinking that. But you're doing a lot.
And by a lot of thought, I mean the 12 hours that Adam gave me because I thought we were doing this a week later. So when Adam called the audible, or I should say Emma, our judge Simon Cowell over here, called
That's
the
right.
audible. I had to think on my feet. But I think Detroit-style pizza...
Can you just explain for the listeners who haven't had Detroit-style pizza how you would characterize it?
It's a pan pizza. I wouldn't quite describe it as like a deep dish situation. It's a pan pizza that's got a caramelly, crusty thing that happens where the cheese goes right up to the edge.
Right.
So you don't see a crust on the outside. The cheese kind of forms the crust. You might use a blend of mozzarella and cheddar, mild
right.
cheddar. So it's a different cheese blend.
Ooh,
it's sort of
cheddar.
A little bit of a different flavor profile. These crazy Detroit people put the sauce on the top.
Yeah, sometimes they put ranch and stuff on the top.
I'm not getting into
You're
that.
You're not
that's,
getting into
that's,
that.
That's like an Emily thing.
But this is it's a rim sheet
yep.
pan where the crust you aren't like kind of depressing down the middle, and then you're going wall to wall with the topping,
yep.
so they actually hit up to the edge of
you're
the pan.
You're like generously buttering the entire inside
Ooh,
of the pan,
butter. Mm.
so that you get that caramelly. Crust on the outside, and this was the breakthrough for me on this method, was that they said if you have a pizza stone, put a pizza stone down in the oven, get it hot for an hour, and put your trays on top of the pizza stone.
Right.
That's how you get the bottom.
Oh,
a brilliant method. Hadn't thought of it before. And you can go, if you're somebody crazy like me, you can go online and buy actual Detroit pizza pans, which are made out of this special galvanized blue steel, which has some like weird, potentially made up backstory about Detroit, where they could be like, they could have been like oil pans for
right.
like GM guys
right.
that were like in the car shops and shit. But that may or may not be true, or you could just get some pans
get
at like Williams-Sonoma.
Question, when you do it on the pizza stone, are you in the lower portion of the oven or up towards the top, heat-wise?
I don't know.
You haven't done it yet.
No, I did it.
You did it.
Yeah, with amazing results.
Well, do you remember
where the rack was?
The rack was in there.
That's not an unfair question.
I put the pizza stone on top of the rack.
I would go at the bottom of the oven.
When I did it,
it
was somebody else's oven, mm-hmm. and I didn't start changing where the racks were.
Okay, all right.
I just put my pizza stone down in their oven.
Okay, perhaps.
But I did bring my own stone and all my own pans and all my own accoutrements. So that's my main event.
You don't think
he's like a masseuse?
I'm telling you, it came out to like oohs and ahs, and it. You know, you cut it up. It's sort of filling because it's a little bit doughy,
right.
so people can maybe grab like two corner slices. If you want to cut them generously, you can make it so that it's like all corners. You know what I mean?
Mm.
You want the corner, but it's really satisfying. Everyone gets the pizza experience. And you're not in there shucking and jiving and slaving away in front of a stove and making
but
all these
are.
Pies.
You will be. You love it.
Yeah, but I'm gonna get it done ahead of time.
No, you're not. You're gonna
what
be,
about
you're
the
gonna,
toppings?
You'll
so.
Have had like five Bloody Marys by 3 p.m. So next question, yeah, toppings.
Yeah,
what about toppings?
Besides the cheese.
I think we'll switch it up. We'll do a plain pie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something
yep.
plain.
Especially for the kids.
Especially for the kids. We'll do sort of like a spicy pie with maybe some soppressata or pepperoni or soppressata and pepperoni and maybe some Calabrian chilies. Generous sprinkling of, those pickled Calabrian chilies and oil
Love
that drives
them.
Everybody crazy. And then what Emily calls the deluxe,
yeah.
which is like, What do you think of when you think of a deluxe? It's green peppers, mushrooms.
No.
Hold
no.
on.
No.
The deluxe.
No. Two deluxe no's so far.
Hold on.
Terrible, terrible play calling.
I'm telling you, Adam, if you would just stop for a second. I'm telling you that the flavor profile creates a taste that is, you know, jogs a food, a really, really yeah. pleasing yeah. food memory for you.
Well,
it's sausage. It's sweet Italian sausage, green pepper,
no.
mushroom,
I hate
button,
green
like literally button mushroom yeah. and olives.
Ugh. Mm.
No, that, it,
that's it's like the everything pie.
Dude,
you just all right,
this is my Super Bowl party, and that's what I'm making on the pizza. So you can have the other one.
You just
and
tried,
now I'm going to keep moving on to the salad.
You just
okay?
tried. You just Adam, hey, stop. I'm talking. You just tried the flea flicker, and you threw an interception.
I just think I've knocked it out of the park with the Detroit style pan pizza.
You lost me at green pepper, and then you killed it with the white button.
That's like, you know what that was? That's like that's like in the Alabama National
this
Championship
is,
game.
We're having green peppers and button mushrooms on the pizza.
Did he say olives also?
Yeah, black olives.
You're
out
black
of a
olives.
Can. All right, let's talk about the salad.
Okay.
So I think for my app, I want to do one of these. I'm kind of threading a theme here. So I want to do one of these pizzeria style salads.
Mm-hmm.
I want it like a pizzeria style grandma salad with, can we use romaine now? Are we in a good, in a safe place?
It's fine. Everything is fine, except there's no inspectors, but it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. I gave my kid some the other day and he didn't die. So.
I want some, I want to do one of these great kind
like
of
a chopped antipasto
yeah,
salad.
Yeah, exactly. I want to do like a chopped antipasto salad. I want to have, you know, crunchy romaine.
Yeah.
I want to have, you know, slices of salami,
yeah.
provolone, pepperoncini, olive oil, and red wine vinegar dressing.
Mm, yes.
Generous with the dried oregano.
Yeah.
Yes.
With maybe a couple of different styles of charcuterie or meat in there.
Sure. So one of them might be in a cube.
Could be like some cubed ham and then
yeah.
some sliced sopressata or sliced salamis.
Will there be any iceberg with the romaine?
Yeah, I hadn't actually thought that all the way through, but I was thinking like crunchy lettuce.
The crunchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're an iceberg guy. You always sing the
best. It has
the,
a place.
Yeah.
I like the
yeah.
combo of romaine and iceberg too.
I think that sounds good, right?
Yeah.
There's enough going on in there so that it feels sort of substantial, like you're
sure.
getting something to eat. There's cheese, there's meat. It's kind of like an antipasti. All up in a salad.
It's got
what
a
about,
lot of promise.
What about in the spirit of tricolore? Do you like
yeah.
throw a little radicchio in there for the red and the slightly bitterness?
Like a chiffonade. Yeah,
yeah,
I don't want like a cup. I don't want like a radicchio
no,
cup.
No, no, chopped up.
But like some, yeah.
yeah,
some shreds.
Yeah, we could do that for sure.
We could do that. It would look pretty.
Red onion, right? We should have some red onion in there.
We should have some red onion
yeah.
for sure.
Olives?
Goes great.
No, not with the olives, Gabe. Just let it go.
I love them. I love them. But you don't have to.
Okay.
You're going to have them around anyway for the deluxe.
And then for the cocktail,
mm-hmm.
I want to do
wait, I'm sorry. The salad, is that...
That's the app.
Is that pizza adjacent or that's like
pre?
Mm.
That's
okay.
pre-game.
Pre.
Mm. Maybe we're... I don't know. Does it need to be a little more substantial than that?
No,
that's
very substantial.
I just think there's something about the...
It doesn't feel like game food.
...appetizer that's like dirty and disgusting, which the salad... refreshingly is not.
I wanted to elevate it a little bit. I'm going dirty and disgusting and kind of
like
lowbrow with the pizza.
And the yeah, totally.
So I wanted to like lighten it up. I wanted to lighten it up a little bit, but still have something that is really satisfying.
Right.
So that's why I was feeling the pizzeria style salad could really, if well executed, could really knock it out of the park. To drink, I'm wanting something kind of a little bit low alcohol for the day drinking, and I'm wanting to make like a riff on an Americano, which I think I can batch out. I had a great version of it recently at Ops Pizza. Shout out to Ops in Bushwick.
Love Ops.
Is that Bushwick where they are? I have no
yeah.
idea what you
yeah.
call it. Those guys are awesome. I love them. Went there recently with AT. Shout out to AT Diner, 20 years old.
Nice.
20th anniversary. Shout out. Big love. They served us a cocktail, which is a riff on an aperitivo that had some bitters from Nardini. They just started, which makes great Amaros and grappas, and they just started putting out a bitter, some white vermouth, and some soda water, and some beautiful slices of orange, and it was just this vibrant color. It was delicious.
White vermouth.
Yeah. This was the riff. So I'm gonna either find out that recipe or just figure it out.
I think you can riff it.
And that was just a delicious cocktail. And then big jugs of natural wine.
Great.
That's how we're rolling.
Yeah, I think beer and wine are kind of a given.
Sure.
We can just assume that there's going to be a big tub.
Yeah.
Beer, but for sure. I don't think everyone assumes wine.
No.
I'm going to batch
beer is a game. I don't know if you get wine and a cocktail. It's a good point. I think beer is like,
I would have
yes.
a couple, but like, I'm with that, with a couple of Americanos.
I'm trying to like dial back the beer.
No, but, no, but I'm saying in terms wine. Of what you're, the game plan you're submitting yes. to Emma for review, you don't get the natural wine also. You can't woo her with natty wine.
I gave her my cocktail.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a riff on an Americano cocktail.
All right.
Which I think is going to be successful. I think I can batch it out.
Yeah. It's a Gitarano.
Yep.
Americana Gabe.
Gitarano. No, wait. So, okay. Let me ask you this, because this actually will affect.
Does that sound like a good menu?
Yeah.
Well, I am interested.
That's good.
If the Pats were to advance to like mm-hmm. Tom Brady's 9th Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
I believe it is, would you host?
I think Rick would host.
You think so?
Yep.
But you attack team on the menu.
Uh-huh.
But you know, Rick's going to like, he's going to want to add like a lentil soup to the menu.
He already called me about Sunday, and he wants to do like an egg drop soup.
Where does this soup fixation come
he
from?
He wants to do like a stracciatella. He wants to do like an Italian egg drop soup.
I love Rick, but I'm like, the soup thing, I don't get.
I don't
and that's
know
for the ALC or whatever it's the called.
Yeah,
AFC championship.
AFC. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
No, that's
Gabe.
Just
that's
wrong. You don't have egg drop soup.
No. It's like a soup. I'm making pizza this Sunday.
Yeah. Okay.
You want to come over?
Trial run. I'm going to be. Unfortunately, I'm going to be in Italy on Sunday.
Oh man!
Wow!
Sorry.
Wow!
I have to go milk some buffalo to make buffalo milk cheese.
Mic drop. This is for an upcoming project of BA Top Secret that the viewers. / people might find out about in February.
They might. And we're just gonna go check out some buffaloes.
I was hoping you and Nando would come over.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry we can't make it.
That was nice when you
guys I have a good excuse though.
Yeah,
that's right? Awesome. That was of nice. All the reasons.
That was nice when Carla came over for turkey rum. Go Adam to Italy. Didn't come over. Adam very much could have come over. He just didn't. He just actually didn't.
Was I in town?
Yep.
For Thanksgiving. Oh, you know,
it was the day after Thanksgiving.
I want to say I had other plans.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, you didn't.
No.
You didn't have any other. Nope, you were
couldn't
just hungover.
Make it.
Just
someone, couldn't make it. Someone didn't feel great, so then everyone had to lose. Something like that.
Yeah. It wasn't good.
Yep.
I don't like that. Anyways, all right. Okay, so. I should not have deferred the kick, but I did. So, but here I am. I'm gonna
here
play.
You are. You're ready.
Okay. Bring it home, Adam.
So, Carla, you made grapefruit soda Palomas.
Yeah.
I'm setting out a Paloma bar.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Paloma bar. First of all, this time of year it's February.
Yeah.
What's most in season right now in February?
Tropical fruit.
Citrus.
You go get the juiciest, sweetest grapefruits at the market. I will hack those up. I will juice them. I will have a whole pitcher of beautiful, bright pink grapefruit juice fresh from the market. To that, based on the menu, based on the recipe at bonapie.com, I'm adding some fresh lime juice
sure.
and a bit of sugar, stirring it up till it's all dissolved. So it's sweet, it's tangy, it's you can smell it as soon as you walk in the door. Then I will have little bottles of either Canada Dry club soda, maybe some Q club soda, something like really crisp and zesty. And then I will have a big thing of ice, and you get to, and then bottles of silver tequila.
Okay.
And you assemble your own Paloma, a real Paloma, not a Ting Paloma.
Okay. So you're, get it. So it's a.
And it's all batched ahead of time. Like I said, it's all set out ahead of time. All the things are juiced. You have the tequila, you have the ice, you have the limes. Serve yourself.
It's like a Paloma highball pitcher self-serve.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I will have the little plate of kosher salt. If you want to do the thing where you rim the salt on the thing, you can do that. I'll have little lime wedges.
Delicious.
Emma, you liking that? You're from California. You like that freshness. All right. So Emma admits she's intrigued by the Paloma bar. All right. So Paloma bar.
Wait, what makes it a bar?
It's all set out on the buffet
sort of
thing.
So the guests can
self-serve.
Kind of decide.
And what kind of tequila? Are you laying out tequila?
Doing a little like Patron Silver, perhaps. Not the Añejo.
Okay.
You know, something clean, crisp.
What about like some mezcals or something out there too?
You know, Simone Schubach loves some mezcal. She's a Yola mezcal loyalist. So I think you can do a mezcal because it, you know,
delicious.
Paloma, Paloma
delicious.
Goes either way.
Really
yeah,
nice.
So, especially, yeah. So all right, so we'll have mezcal.
You
and,
know what? You know what else I think you should do to that bar?
What's that?
You should make a little habanero simple syrup. I think you should make a spicy simple syrup so that if
kind
you
of
want,
Michelada
if,
style it.
No,
eat it up.
It's not necessarily that, but. I think if you put some of that delicious Paloma primer that you've got going on in that jug with a little bit of mezcal and some element of heat in a glass with a salty rim, maybe a sprig of cilantro, we're out of here.
Yeah. You know what I like? I like when you get the half salty rim, you know? You can go there if you want.
That. Does that sound good?
Emma, I just scored points. Emma just scored points. She's like ding ding ding.
She likes the half, the half salty rim.
So we got these serve yourself Paloma bar. You want it sweet, you want it spicy, you want it salty. You make the call.
Yep.
Okay. All right, we're on the bar motif. Gabe, you and I have done this. I'm doing the Italian Hero Bar. I wrote about this recently for my editor's
letter. A lot of success,
yeah. Okay, so here's the deal.
Wait, can we just stop real quick?
Yeah.
I'm going to just interrupt you. I want the listening public to know about your Instagram post with your subs I was the hand model in your most liked post ever.
My most liked
you
post
gave
ever.
Me no, is that true? You gave me no shouts on that post.
First
but
of all,
you're not on, I mean, how can he shout you out?
You're not,
you're not on
it doesn't
the
matter.
Platform.
I was the hand model.
Yeah. Gabe, so you can go, if you want to follow me at Rapo4, R-A-P-O, numeral 4, my most liked shot ever, which was not like a great shot, but it was a good,
pretty good
cross-section of
and
a
it,
hero.
And it had a story.
Yeah, it had a POV. So, all right, so
I think
here's
it was
the deal.
Because Gabe
delicious.
Was in it.
It's delicious.
All right, Italian Hero is
that hero was incredible.
Nostalgic, delicious. Here's the deal. I want it to be self-serve, but I want to make sure that everyone knows what they're doing. So when they arrive, I'm going to hand them a blueprint sheet. Here's how you build an Italian hero, okay? Like, I don't want them, like, going freelance and just doing it their own way.
It's a little kitschy.
No, it's not kitschy because I don't want them to screw it up.
Why don't you do the thing that I've seen in the movies where the coach is in front of the whiteboard?
Oh,
so instead of actually,
chalkboard.
Yeah.
Chalkboard, good.
Instead of handing something out, you're like, guys, huddle up. We're going to go over the play. And then you just draw it out.
So I'm going to have a whiteboard. Right? I'm going to bring it home from work. I'll do, like, the thing, and I'll have the diagram.
Right.
All right, so what we had talked about in my newsletter and whatnot, like, you buy the rolls from, like, the plastic bin at the supermarket, just like sub rolls.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy, no like focaccia or anything or any of that sort of nonsense. Ciabatta, no. Slice them open, but don't slice them open all the way. Slice them open so they're laying flat. And then to that, we talk about the horseshoe method, where I like mayo. I know that's controversial, but maybe you either do a little mayo on the bread itself. Gabe likes the Calabrian chili spread.
Yeah, man, it gives it like a little, the mayo gives it a little umami, like a creaminess and a little umami factor that, to me, kicks it up a notch.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then I like either Calabrian chili or chopped pepperoncini sort of spread on there. And then you do your, and this is where I screwed up in my Instagram shot, some basic provolone laid on there on like the flatness of the bread. And then you have a selection of meats. And I'll go out and I'll buy some really thinly shaved mortadella, some sort of kind of classic salami of some sort, probably some copa, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you layer those in, and then I will have some shredis, as we've talked about, shredded iceberg. I'll have some pickled red onions.
Mm-hmm. Takes the sting out.
Takes the sting out. I'm not doing tomatoes in February.
No.
No, right?
No.
No.
Watery.
You know?
Why would you?
Yeah. It's just like,
I also don't really need that in my, yeah, no.
And then, so you've got the bed of the provolone, the meats sort of laid on top of each other, super thin, that big sort of like forest of shredis, some pickled onions, then to that, oil, vinegar, generous amount, dried oregano. And then you take that whole sub.
S&P?
S&P, yep. And you fold it onto itself, so the meat and the cheese forms like a horseshoe with all the fixins on the inside,
right?
So they don't get overly soggy in the bread. You take that, slice it in half. Although in Philly, you would never slice it in half. That's up to you. You can slice it in half if you want. And it's just like, it's like the salty, it's like
no, but the
sweet
presentation, finish it.
Yeah, and then what I did, I would wrap it in some wax paper or parchment or something, wrap it all up tight, slice it, fold it, so then the two sides are facing outwards. You see that cross-section.
Wrapping it in the wax paper, that was
and then
like,
folding
that was
it
a
through.
Kicker.
That was the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just, quick question for Emma. Emma, I'm just, are you done?
Well, I'm not done. I'm not fully done with like.
You didn't give
us
an
out. Are you deducting any points for the fact that in a different Super Bowl food cast, Adam also talked about doing the
No.
Yeah, we've had this conversation.
Literally 100%. for the Super Bowl, yeah. He pitched doing the hero. And it was, you were, in those days, you were more of the stack it up side view, and there wasn't the horseshoe. But
because
I'm just curious,
because
she is judging. I just want to know if it's okay.
She's calling for time.
I told you you couldn't do it, and then you said
no, you
that
did
you
not
were going
say
to anyway. I said
it.
You've done it before.
No, I said it was part of the bracket last year, the Tournament of Champions. We did not go in depth in terms of how to make it. That's like saying, oh, you know what, Franco Harris, you ran the ball a lot last Super Bowl. You can't run the ball a lot this Super Bowl.
I just wanted to know if Emma was judging on originality.
As you know, you can't telegraph every play, and you can't keep running the same play in this league.
You can.
You've got to reinvent yourself.
If you're Franco Harris or John Riggins, you can keep running it right down their throats.
That's what
Gabe.
We call smash mouth
football.
I
personally think it is okay to serve the same thing year after year. You can have your signature
this is a
thing,
new
and
way.
That's fine. I just wanted to know if Emma, who's judging, had any originality parameters.
Don't worry about it. Anyways, this hero
Adam's striking the hammer while the iron is hot.
So good.
He's hot on the gram right now with this sub. He's just going to his playbook. He's hot right now.
And to Gabe's point about the pizza, that ridiculous pizza, the classic or whatever, the deluxe, there's something that it tastes of your childhood.
It evokes food memory. Yeah.
A hero with that oil and the vinegar and the meats and the cheese. And oh my God, it's so good. So I got that. I have your fresh, zingy Paloma that you made yourself. And then early on, like, I don't want to get filled up before I get to the main, to the
you
hero.
You never want to get filled up.
Yeah, that's but the hero.
Something.
So I will be doing.
That would be like the epitaph on your tombstone, like, didn't want to get filled up before dinner.
Don't fill up on the bread.
The epitaph on mine, though, is going to be got too full before main course.
That is like, we've talked about this before, but like back
didn't want mine. It was like too full.
Back in the day when you moved to New York City, a bunch of guys were like, dude, we're going to Peter Luger's. You're like, okay. And you get to Peter Luger's with all these jackass friends of yours. And they each have like three onion rolls before like the app. I'm like, what are you doing? You're about to buy like $100 steak and you're filling up on the onion rolls? Amateur move. Gabe, like, yeah, come on, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, so.
I just don't know why you have to be such a cop about it.
It's just like, I'm trying to help you.
No, but seriously, like going out to dinner with you is like being with the roll police. It's so weird. You go out to dinner with Adam in a restaurant, like, you reach for
hands.
The bread and you get your hands up. Like, yeah, what are you doing, dude? And I'm like, oh, sorry, I was just going to have a roll.
You're also getting instructions on your hero making.
I'm a little hungry.
Okay.
I was just going to have a roll, Adam.
So back to, all right.
Amateur move, Gabe.
Speaking.
Come on. Get your head in the game.
Speaking
this
of
this is dinner.
Speaking of nostalgia, all right. As you're eyeing the Italian Hero Bar, I will be serving up some slow roasted onion dip from the Basically website, where you caramelize a bunch of onions, because is there anything better than caramelized onions? No, with some garlic and whatnot. And then to that, once they're nice and caramelized and chopped up, you add some Greek yogurt, a little lemon juice, and you serve that with some Utz potato chips. Oh, thanks, Gabe. That's classy. Turn your phone off, dude. Like, this is your first time? You've been doing this for 4 years. All right, so a beautiful, creamy, oniony, garlicky, but not like oniony, like bitter
bad.
Onion, like bad. Like, yeah, my mouth is like sweet roasted onions and garlic. Greek yogurt. We serve it with some radishes. We're going to serve it with some sliced fennel, raw fennel, and some Utz potato chips.
Oof.
It's like, it's satisfying.
I like the
but
fennel.
But it doesn't fill you up, yeah. Mm. And those wedges, like you see the fennel, like the striations
I love
in
that.
The fennel.
Yeah.
And the red, beautiful red radishes.
That actually sounds
cool
delicious.
Yeah. And
did
the
you ever serve
chips.
That before?
No, but I'm going to serve
like
it at the Super Bowl.
Utz isn't too thin to handle that dip?
Don't worry about it, all right?
I'm not worried about it.
You had some, man, what was the last time that we went over there? You had some killer kind of crudité situation with a great dip. I don't know what it was last time we were over there as a crew.
It might have just been
was it your birthday?
It might have just been like the basic meal thing where he microplanes a little garlic into some Greek yogurt with some olive oil and that sort of thing.
Good.
Just make sure full fat Greek yogurt.
Yes,
like,
100%.
Or you want that silky texture.
Totally.
You know?
What about Labneh?
Labneh's nice, but I don't want the 2% or the 0 too chalky.
Okay, so to reiterate, serve yourself wintry fresh Paloma Bar. Make your own Italian heroes, classic Italian heroes, and a roasted caramelized French onion dip. That's what I got. Carla, what do you got?
I have delicious Palomas with a lot of ice and tang and delicious
ice. You're
tequila.
Advertising ice.
Yeah, yeah, crushed ice.
Well, really? Why? Yeah, I like the idea of my highball glass, like really cold, and so it looks like a highball, and the ting, and like I don't. There's no pulp. It's not cloudy. It's like it's
you're
fine.
So competitive, dude. It's so weird. You're so competitive.
I have a two ingredient.
I'm just saying, a lot of ice is like. I mean, yeah.
Let her finish.
Yeah.
Go on.
I mean,
Carla.
You went
I'm
on
here
and
with
on
you.
About the fresh, juicy. I've got cold, delicious.
Keep it cold.
Cracked ice in like nice glasses.
Okay, cracked ice, that's
I got
better.
Ting.
That's good.
It's like bubbles on the nose, you know what I mean? I have a two ingredient.
But you know what your poem was
Did
not?
Did I interrupt when he
yes,
was doing
yes,
his?
Many
this?
Times.
Is a recap. Hey.
You know what your poem was not? It's not a bright pink like mine, because ting is kind of like
Adam,
gray.
Adam, we sat here just wrapped with attention while you
nodding.
gave us your recap.
Dude, Gabe,
please
Gabe,
give
play,
us your recap.
Play to the whistle, Gabe. Play to the whistle.
Give us your recap.
Delicious two ingredient.
Look
blue
at me, Carla.
Cheese
Don't look at him.
Dip. Gorgonzola dolce.
Delicious.
Buttermilk. Crack black pepper. A little drizzle of olive oil.
Cape Cod potato chips.
And we've got Cape Cod.
Right.
We've got
I'll
bags.
Give, I'll give you points.
Bags and bags of
Don't
bags.
Lose, just talk to me. Don't lose eye contact.
And then to really just get into it, riblets. One word.
Delicious.
Riblets.
To recap, my award-winning mag of Pet Nat winning meal, we're going with a crisp, refreshing, low alcohol, chuggable Americano cocktail with Nardini bitter, white vermouth, and bubbly soda water.
I don't
so,
like. I don't,
so
I mean,
bubbly.
But you say like white vermouth and bitters as if those are good things.
Just delicious. It's good. Garnished with fresh citrus fruit. Just so drinkable.
You would have like
wets the appetite.
You
invites you in for more.
I think blood,
moving
I think
into,
blood orange should be
we're
really
moving
nice
into
with that.
A bright but satisfying Italian salad with crisp romaine iceberg lettuces, salamis two ways, some provolone cheese, bright spicy pepperoncini,
but not too much meat, please.
Finally, we're getting into deeply delicious, satisfying Detroit deep dish pizza with caramelized crust, bright tomato sauce, delicious meat, everything you want, steaming hot in a pan with a crusty bottom.
Yeah.
And ready to rock.
Yeah.
Hold in your hand and eat it. Like a man or a woman.
Jesus.
Hold it in your hand.
Wow.
And eat it like a man or a woman.
Okay. So we have.
I think it's a bottom rack, double crunchy Detroit style.
I'm telling you, get that pizza stone out and put those pans on
to
the
give
stone.
You a little branding.
It's almost like you work for a food publication and Gabe does it.
I was like, I love everything you're saying. We have to make it shorter. People don't read that much on the internet. Bottom rack, yeah. Double crunchy Detroit style Pete's.
Double crunchy.
Okay, guys, that was a spirited competition. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. But
as we say in Bon Appetit parlance, crunchity.
Crunchity. But the question is, who wins?
Yeah,
Emma,
who
can
Emma
you please
pick?
Come over, reveal your winner, and explain to us why that team won? And mm-hmm. like we want details, okay? You need to make an argument for
I'm
us.
I'm ready, Emma. I'm ready.
I don't like this.
It's fine. There's no losers. You're the winner.
Is there any scenario in which I get the bottle of wine?
Well, you could argue for that. Maybe,
sure.
Maybe you get a second bottle. You should
just
get a bottle just for being producer.
If you choose me, I'll give you the bottle.
Yeah.
How about
there we go.
That?
That's what
there
I was looking for. Okay, let's see. You know, it's tricky because there are components to each of them that I like and then some other components that I'm not necessarily as much of a fan of. I will say the biggest thing, unfortunately, Carla, I love you, that I'm not a fan of is blue cheese, which is a really personal, I just don't like blue cheese.
I get it. It's
divisive. So that kind of... You know, adopted a little bit. Yeah. The riblets, though, sound amazing. And I think that if I could be guaranteed enough riblets, I could forego the appetizer at your Super Bowl party and potentially be okay.
So you're saying when you come through the door that you know Carlos says, don't worry, you will get at least 23 riblets.
That's, right, exactly. If I can have 23 riblets.
That should be. Just having like a drink, a lot of chips, and 23 riblets.
Yeah, I can do plain chips too, yeah, exactly. Plain chips.
Okay. When you do, for the bonappetit.com, when you develop the recipe for riblets, the name of the recipe should just be the riblets though.
Sure.
Yeah.
The riblets though.
The riblets though.
And then what about her quote unquote Paloma?
Sounds fine. I will say that I think drink wise, Adam wins it with the DIY with the Paloma bar. Yeah, that one just got me grapefruit February.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carla was going a little more down market with it.
I was going like, you know,
would drink.
Sure.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
But the Paloma bar was speaking to me in particular. And then let's see, Hero Always Good. I feel a little bit like, yes, minus some points for creativity.
Oh, here it comes.
I do, because we literally talked about this like yesterday, and I was like, you might want to think of something else, and you were like, no. So,
well, you didn't say you were going to dock me for it.
I forgot. I was judging.
Here it comes. Dude.
But it also sounds delicious, and I would also eat it. So if we're going on purely just like what
I
want to eat.
Can I show you the photo?
Yeah, I've seen the photo.
I know, but how good is that?
Adam, it looks really good.
It looks really good.
That's me.
Yeah, that's you.
Adam, I'm Google mapping the route to Chamber Street Wine right now.
Okay.
So we can get over there.
What about the slow roasted French onion dip?
Delicious. That's my kind of dip. Yeah. Would happily eat that dip.
With fresh anise
with the
scented
veg is nice.
Fennel. Baby
anise
weird radishes
just
in different
got
shapes and colors.
Points for saying anise scented fennel.
I know. I thought he said any scented, like
any,
your
kind
scent.
Of, any kind of
choose
scent.
Your...
And then game. Your drink, not particularly my drink, but that's also okay.
Yeah.
We've all got particular tastes. That's what's tough about judging. And your pizza slash salad combo, I'm loving because I also think it really makes sense together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very
thematic
into that. It's very thematic. And also that salad sounds delicious. I love that salad.
I was saying, you
something.
Have all the same toppings in the salad that go on the pizza. If it seems redundant.
Mm, not really.
Right? You have provolone, you have cheese on there, you have salamis.
You'd
you
be
have,
happy
like,
eating it.
I would.
It's cohesive. You would. Those are two things that if you went to Gabe's restaurant, Gabe's Super Bowl restaurant, and the appetizer was chopped antipasto, and the main thing was pizza, that they make sense. That's. I think it was cohesive. I agree with the judges.
Pizzeria style salad.
Yeah,
right.
Would happily eat that meal.
By the way, that thing
so
about
wait,
that cocktail.
I'm sorry. Did you announce
I didn't
it?
No, I didn't announce it yet. Partially because I haven't really decided. Mm. That was my like talking through it.
I think that.
I don't even really want this to be the case. Stop looking at me. If we're talking like Emma walking into a party, what does she want to eat from beginning to end?
That
the
is what
most,
we're talking about.
I have to choose Adam even though I don't want to.
No!
I'm not kidding.
As my Emma, as my former assistant, that pains her. To
I did
that.
Not want to choose it.
But start to finish, you would eat all three of those.
Start to finish, I would very happily eat all three
God,
of those.
Okay. No.
So, Gabe, cool. did you?
No
you,
wine for you.
Do you have Wi-Fi? Did you get the map?
No
map,
pen map for you. No. None for you.
I'm
it
sorry,
goes to Emma.
Gabe.
It goes
I,
to
I
Emma.
Will give, I will, you have to buy it. We'll go to Chamber Street after this, then we'll give it to Emma.
Man.
Wow. Wow. That was a sudden, I didn't think that was where you were going.
I know, because it was really in my head to the last
You know what, when
there.
I think, when
you know
I think
what
about
I,
it.
I did him a favor when I chose Palomas, because he came up with Super Paloma. Because if I hadn't said Paloma, he was just going to go Basic Paloma. And
listen, no one,
and I feel like Super Paloma really helped him take it home.
I think that's
it was
true.
The salt rim.
I think with,
she like
I honestly,
died about the salt rim.
I honestly think without the Paloma that it would have been a harder
choice. Yeah, but you didn't like blue cheese.
Choice.
No, I
Carla
would have still
got, it was,
me,
but it was,
but I was then
the bottom,
voting for Gabe, you
know,
no offense.
No one wants to hand Bill Belichick the Lombardi trophy another time, but it keeps happening.
Yeah, I think that's right. As I think about it, kind of piece by piece, with that God darn Paloma bar.
The Paloma
bar. Really was. As I think about it, piece by piece of this game plan, I like what you're doing in all three phases. I think the drink is really good. I don't care about the dip, but I think it's going to be delicious, especially with you had me at...
Yeah, you went nuts for fennel slices.
For fennel. I don't get enough fennel. I really don't. I'm really missing fennel. And then I will attest that sub is delicious.
Sure.
And it presents it presents like game time, it's on, where this is amazing.
Right.
The presentation when you get it with the wax paper is incredible. I'm not sure about the chalkboard concept of like, this is how you build it with the chalkboard. I didn't like that.
I thought it was great. I love it.
No, thanks, I don't like that.
I think if he's wearing a whistle thing and he has the big Motorola headset, that could be funny. That could be a little bit funny.
In like a red wool dad hat and a varsity sweater and with a whistle and like a headset.
Yeah, that could be funny.
Yeah.
And you keep it funny.
All right, we got to go to Chamber Street Wine. Carla, thanks so much. Gabe, as always, thank you.
This was fun. It's weird to have lost.
See ya.
The Bon Appetit Foodcast is produced by Carrie Polis and Christina Che, and produced and edited by Emma Wortsman. Our theme music is by Nathaniel Wortsman. We have new episodes every Wednesday, and if you want to tell us about this or any other episode, email us at bonappetitfoodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.